Good evening, everybody. It's good to have you here tonight, braving the old Metoka Cane of 2021. Always amazes me how few people show up when it starts raining and get that little drop on you and everybody just runs for the hills thinking they're going to melt. So, anyway, we have some announcements. As always, we have a Bible study here on Wednesday nights. And then we have one on Friday. It's kind of like it's like a Freaky Friday. We show documentaries and then we talk and have some weird stuff to say. So, of course, Sunday mornings, I have Sunday morning here in church. This Sunday, at 9 o'clock, we'll be having a breakfast. And then after that, we'll be having two classes. The women and the men will split up. And Sister Banks, Diana Banks, she'll be teaching a class. And then Pastor Sharon will be in the gymnasium teaching a class. And then we'll have service again that night. So our normal services at 5 and 6. I've asked Brother Traven here to open up in prayer. Said I was going to make him look good. So, I'm doing my best to make him look good by not being as good as he is. So I'm a little nervous, but it is what it is. I do, however, have on Sherman shirt. So that should rub off on me a little bit anyway. You know? So anyway, we're going to continue in Galatians. We're in Galatians 3 tonight. Galatia was a territory, wasn't a city. It was more like along the lines of a county or a small territory. You could maybe say Galatia would be about the size of Oklahoma, maybe a little smaller, Rhode Island, somewhere around there. Paul is the author of Galatians, and I love Paul. You know, he's probably my parents in the Bible, just because, well, he's a lot like Sherman. He's very sarcastic, and he's got a lot of disdain, but he's very comical, and he has his own little, I don't know, type of comedy. He was a little short guy, he was hunched over, and he had a unibrow. And I like to think of him as a little Danny DeVito. I did want to throw Sherman under the bus since he wasn't here tonight and say, that kind of sounds like Sherman Davis. But I promised myself I wouldn't do that. But anyway, I'm going to start off with Matthew 5:22, just to break the ice. Matthew 5:22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. And in Galatians 3:1, what does Paul do to start off, just to start it off? Oh, foolish Galatians. So, I don't think he was in danger of hellfire, but I think they were. It states, O foolish Galatians. And I looked up that word foolish, and it basically means he was berating them. He was saying, you imbeciles, you know, you for any lack of a better word, you retards, you know, what got into you? Why couldn't you do what you were told? You were on your way. Why couldn't you do that? It says, who hath bewitched you? That word bewitched is called bascana. that it means to give an evil eye to. You always see in periodicals or magazines or television shows, you always see people doing this one eye thing, or they're always doing that. That's what it means. It's the all-seeing eye. It's Satan. And that's who is the prince of the power of the air, and that is who went in, as the parable of the seed, the sower of the seed. Whenever Paul went in, and he sowed good seed, and then Satan came in among, and the birds plucked it away. So that's what happened. It says, "Who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently set forth crucified among you?" I want to go back to that word bewitched for a minute, just for the simple fact that Scott McBride gave me this book. He was going through a bunch of his stuff, and he said, "You can have any of this stuff." And I just seen this dictionary, and I fell in love with it. But another word for bewitched is glamour. And I looked up glamour. We always think of glamour as something pretty or beautiful, or you see magazines, glamour. It wasn't like that back in the original language. It was like a spell or a curse. In the dictionary, it reads, to cast an enchantment, or seriously, magic, enchantment, magic, spell, or charm, hence, seemingly mysterious and elusive, fascination, or to allure, as if some person, object, scene, or bewitching charm, the elusive enticement. And it says, the current sense, it says glamour girl. But if you read old-time books, it talks about how fairies or witches would bewitch somebody in the forest, and they would lure them in, and never ended up, they always ended up in an oven and getting eaten or something. So basically, that's what's going to happen to us if we allow ourselves to be bewitched. My wife and I, we study the Bible a lot, and there's a scripture that says, come out of her, my people, and it's talking about Babylon. And if you don't have the eyes to see, you can't see that Babylon is all around you. We don't live in seasons anymore. We don't go from winter to spring to summer or anything. We go from, at Walmart, you go from Christmas time to Halloween to Easter. And that's Babylon. That's exactly what Babylon is. And come out of her, my people. So that's one thing my wife and I have been doing, is trying to quit celebrating the Babylon holiday. So we try and celebrate like Sukkot or you know, something in the Bible. Now, we're not messianic by any means, but that is one thing. When you start studying Israel and Jewish stuff, you can fall into that very easy, and you can say, "Well, we should do this, or we should do that." No, you really shouldn't do this, and you really shouldn't do that. You should do what this says, you know. Now, that New Testament is written. I mean, it's not all to us, but it is all for us. And I don't know. I don't have to lay in bed all day on a Saturday to not go to hell. I mean, that's just me. But the law is one thing that can catch a hold of you, and it looks really inviting at the get-go. And then before you know it, you're trying to do this, and you're trying to do that, and you're just busy, 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 and you don't have time for God anymore. It's not about Jesus. It's all about trying to make this and do the right thing here and the right thing there. And you just, after a while, you just give up. So, anyway, when I get back where it says, Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. What Paul was trying to get was, I came here, I taught you this, you were alive at this time. Jesus was crucified among you. You were witnesses to this. You might not have been there, but you've lived through it. you've heard it, you've known it. You know, when I think about Jesus dying, it was one man that died, you know, 2,000 years ago in a far-off country that has, which is the reason why every one of us is sitting right here today. That's unheard of, you know? So these people back then knew it. So they knew not to go, but they went anyway. So let me go ahead. This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing of the faith. So what he's saying there is, whenever you receive Jesus, was it because I was up here and because I was telling you about Jesus and the gospel? Did you receive the Spirit because of the gospel and being heard of Jesus? Or did you receive the Spirit by going out and keeping this law or that commandment or this commandment or that commandment? Which one is it? Tell me. You received it only by the gospel. The word says that. You received by hearing the word of God. So, and again, it says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? So, Paul goes in, and he heals people in Galatia. He tells people about God. They receive the Spirit. They get saved. So, was Paul doing that by keeping the law, or was he doing that by what he had received from Christ himself? He had received Christ. There's no law that you can keep that's going to get you to heaven. There's not one law. If you can keep up with all 613 laws, and then 10 on top of that, hell or heaven would be a very lonely place. You know, God would be stuck up there by himself. So verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And if you got your Bibles, just so you know, I'm not lying to you, if you could turn to Genesis 18, verse 18. Kenny didn't get all these, so that's why I don't Kenny's quick. All right, the word says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. All right, what's it say? Did it say people? Did it say relatives? Or does it say nations? It says nations. So that doesn't mean just his seed. There is scripture where it says his seed is blessed, and his seed and his bloodline is blessed, and it will continue to be blessed. But we Gentiles are grafted in. We inherited it by faith. So verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We'll go to Deuteronomy 27:26. I've got two scriptures here, Deuteronomy 27:26 and James 2:10. And I want to go to Deuteronomy 27:26 first. And it just validates this this verse 10. It says, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen." And then go to James 2:10. Man, Kenny, you're getting good at that. James 2:10. "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of them all." The way I read verse 10 in here in Galatians, and then those two scriptures right there, is imagine you got a car and you're going down the highway and you pass a highway patrolman going 120 and he pulls you over. And he comes up, knocks on your door, license and registration. Was I speeding? Or not was I speeding? You were obviously speeding. "Did I have a tail light out?" And he says, "No, you didn't have a tail light out." Okay. "Did I not use my turn signal?" "No, you didn't have to use your turn signal. But you were speeding." "Okay. But I didn't do this and I didn't do that. I didn't run a stop sign." "It doesn't matter. You're still speeding. So you can do all 612 laws. But if you break that 613 law, that's still at the damning of hell. There's no varying degrees when it comes to the law. That law was made to show you that you can't keep it. And that's all it was. When we get on down a little bit, I'll tell you what the law is for." I did a little study, a little side study on that. But, Jesus met a man. He was a rich man. He said, "Teacher, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus told him, he said, "You know what to do, keep the laws." And the guy told him, he said, "Well, I've kept these laws ever since I was born. I've kept them all. All the way growing up. I've kept every one of them." And Jesus said, "Oh, yeah?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you what then. Sell all you own and then follow me." And what the man did, he walked away sad. Why?
Couldn't follow Jesus
because he's rich. So he had that pride in there, that love of money. So that's the broken commandment right there. So that was Jesus showing him, "You didn't keep all the laws. Mind if I thought you kept them? There's one where you failed." So I do believe those laws were made to show us that we couldn't keep them. But it did have its place. I'll get into that in a minute. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith." I believe that's in Habakkuk, if I remember right. The law, verse 12, "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." If you can go to Deuteronomy 21:23, if you guys got your Bibles, please turn to 21:23. I'm going to read that again. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." 21:23. This is in Deuteronomy. This is one of the prophecies that Christ fulfilled. It says, "His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for the inheritance. So, whenever the Roman soldiers came to break his legs, Jesus' legs were on the cross. They didn't have to break it, he was already dead. So, and it being the high Sabbath, his body needed to come down, needed to be buried. And Joseph of Arimathea, they used his tomb, the sepulcher. So Jesus fulfilled this, which is kind of weird, because Deuteronomy was written in 1451, I think 1451 B.C. or 1450 B.C., somewhere around there, give or take a year, but who cares, 1450 years. But anyway, 1451 years, and he fulfills it exactly. He doesn't hang on the tree more than a day, and he gets buried that night. He became the curse for us. Each one of us is cursed. We received a curse from Adam. You know, when he ate, you know, the whole earth was cursed. So, the only way to do it was to keep the law at that time. Nobody could do it. The people that where God can see your heart ended up in Abraham's bosom. Jesus went down there, he was crucified and died. So he took our curse, he bore our sins, he received the lashes, anything and everything we've ever done, he paid for it right there. That's one thing about the law. The law was for remission of sin. It did not redeem us from sin. It put your sin off for another year, and when Passover came, it could kill another lamb and be good for another year, and they went to the synagogue and said, oh, I did this, going to sacrifice this, and put their sin off, and just kept putting their sin off. Each animal that they slaughtered was innocent too. And that's just a type and shadow, like Sherman says, it's a type and shadow of Christ, of what Christ has done for us. And there is no remission anymore. You just ask for forgiveness, believe, and you know, it's given to you. It's nothing you can work for. There is no law. Verse 14, Galatians 3. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So this is what I said a while ago, where the promises were made to Abraham's seed. It's the difference between his seed of his family and his seed Jesus. That's the difference. So when you accept Christ, you become sons of Abraham, sons of God, children of God. That's how that works. You're grafted in. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For at the inheritance of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. It's kind of a neat thing that they used to do. It's called cutting covenant. And what they would do is, if me and Tim Swibothian made a pact, well, we would choose, we would go choose a bull, and we would cut that bull in half. And we would set one piece over here, and we would set one piece over here. And then me and Tim would shake, we'd make our agreement, and then we'd lock arms, and then we'd walk between the two pieces. And that's what's called cutting covenant, or making a deal, I guess. If you remember, God told Abraham, he says, go get your bull, go get this, go get this, go get this, and cut. Split it. So Abraham goes, he cuts, he splits. And he's sitting there waiting on God. He's sitting there waiting. And he's waiting. And God never shows up. So he goes over here and he sits by this tree. Figure he's going to wait a little longer. So what happens is, Abraham falls asleep. As soon as he falls asleep, God comes through. And you know God's, I mean, I know God's a pillar of fire, you know, when he does something like that, but, you know, he says no man can look upon God and live. So when Abraham wakes up, he wakes up, and there's burn marks in the ghost. And it goes between the pieces. Abraham didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to make that covenant. God did it for him. He promised him. He said, I'm going to do this for you. And that's why he waited until Abraham was asleep, because he knew Abraham couldn't. He knew Abraham couldn't. Couldn't go through with it. He couldn't amount to it. He couldn't do whatever it was God wanted to do. He knew that Abraham would fail. He knew that because Adam had done it. And that all down the line, that's what happened. So what he'd done was he waited until Abraham fell asleep. And he went up there and he made that promise. He says, I don't care what you do. I don't care where you go. There ain't nowhere you can run and there ain't nothing I'm not going to do for you. There ain't nowhere I won't search you out. Whether it be in a bar, whether it's in prison, I don't care where you are, I'll meet you right there. And that's what Abraham did, or that's what God did to Abraham. You can mess up all you want. It don't matter what you do. He's always there. You just gotta look. You just gotta ask. It's like that prodigal son. The prodigal son had to come back. God ain't going to chase you. He's not going to make you do anything. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to change your mind. He doesn't want to change it for you. He wants to be loved. He doesn't want to make you love Him. So, God cut covenant with Abraham. Now we're going to go to verse 19, and we'll get to the purpose of the law. Wherefore, then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. This is where I was getting at earlier in the study. I was telling you, I did a little side study. Wherefore, then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, says Jesus, and is ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Schoolmaster. So that word is pedologist. That's where pedo or pedophile, that's where that group comes from. A pedologist is, so you had the head of a family, like back in Rome, and or even in the Hebrew, those that believed, you had the father, and they were normally very wealthy. If you were female, you'd have like a nanny. If you were male, you'd have what's known as a pedologist, and he would take you to school, would sit with you. You would make sure you went here. You would make sure you went there. It's like the French word for au pair. Basically a babysitter, tutor, para. That's kind of, man. So that's kind of where we're at. It's basically a para that would follow your son around, and make sure he got there, and make sure he got there. So the law was instituted while we're waiting for Jesus. God knows the beginning from the end, okay? So if he knew the beginning from the end, he knows he's got this big space of time right here where Jesus ain't going to be. And then what do we know about when there isn't anything on the earth that's godly? Does anybody know? We got rappers that come out with 666 shoes with human blood, and then we got drag queen story hour. And that's where you get whenever you don't have God in something. Society goes downhill. So that's where the law comes in. And so God instituted the law, and the law was to direct people, keep people in line. It was a babysitter. It was a don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And those of you that were here for Pilgrim's Progress that I showed, everything called Legality Mountain. And it's this big mountain, and in the mountain there's like thousands of tombstones. One says, be quiet. One says, speak up. One says, hurry up. One says, slow down. And there's just, it's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's kind of what you hear about Fauci saying. Sorry, YouTube. Dr. Fauci, whatever you want to call him. So it's like him saying, no, you don't got to wear a mask. Yeah, you got to wear a mask. Now you got to wear two masks. Now three. Where does it end? It just doesn't end. And that's where you get with legality. That's where you get with law. You, follow this, but you didn't follow that. Then you gotta follow this. Well, you did this, but now you gotta do that. Well, you didn't do it this way. You gotta do it exactly like this. No, you can't have leavened bread. It's gotta be unleavened. So that's where you end up with legality and laws. So are we on 26? Sure. You guys are, yeah, time for dinner. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Meaning, once you receive Christ, you're baptized into Christ, and you should show that fruit. If a tree puts off bad fruit or no fruit, it's to be hung down. That's written in the book somewhere. I'm pretty sure I don't know the address, but I know it's in there. It says we're saved by faith unto good works. So I like to go and do things for people. I don't care. I just like to serve. And it's not, I love all y'all. I love everybody. And it's not that I'm doing it for you. It's that I'm working for Jesus. And I'm not trying to bribe it. And I'm not trying to get to heaven first. It's not, it is a race, but I'm not, you know. It's like Sherman says, you know, Jesus loves me more. He's got my picture in his wallet, you know. That's it. I want to be more than well done or good and faithful servant, you know. I want to be the one who says, I couldn't wait till you got here. I've missed you so much. And I think that's what we all should strive for. He loved you so much. He died for you. I know it's hard for us to wrap our brain around it. And I know we've heard it all our lives, but it doesn't make it any less true. So, we put on Christ. We wear Christ. Anytime you shake somebody's hand or go to the store, I know the masks make it hard, but don't look away. Look them in the eye. How are you doing? Look nice today. Whatever it is, just a little bit of something is enough to turn their day around. It's enough to turn their life around. It starts so small you wouldn't even know it. You couldn't ever fathom it. You couldn't wrap your brain around it. It's the little things. I don't care who you are, it's the little things. Give something to somebody small. Give somebody something small. And you'll be amazed at how big it turns whenever they cast it back to somebody else. Always strive to put on Christ. As he put on you upon that cross. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's where we're at. I just want to appreciate, tell you guys I appreciate you all coming out. Sorry you're short, but I'm hungry. God bless you all. And I'm going to go ahead and close this out in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for the rain that you provided, and we thank you for each and every single one of these wonderful people. Lord, we just ask that you be with them this week, Father God. Keep them lifted up and strengthen them. Help them to strengthen those around them, Father God. Guide and guard and protect them. Break them when they be broken. And shape them and mold them. Keep them strong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.